there, my name's Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, maybe you're thinking of changing your smartphone this year, and when you look at that, you're certainly going to think about some of the different characteristics of the smartphone. What processors it have inside of it, how good are the cameras, how much internal storage does it have, and one of the things you'll look at is how much RAM it has. Now, how much RAM do you actually need in an Android smartphone in 2022? There seems to be so many different levels available. 4 gigs, 6 gigs, 8, 12, 16 gigabytes of memory. Well, how much do you actually need? Well, we're going to do some testing. We're going to talk about how Android RAM management works, and we're going to try to come to a conclusion. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so let's talk a bit about RAM inside of a smartphone. RAM is random access memory. That's different to the internal storage. When you switch off your phone, what's in RAM disappears because there's no longer any power to it. But of course, internal storage has all your apps and the data and the photos all there because they remain even when there's no power. Now, RAM is used when you are running applications. So as you run an application, it will occupy some of the RAM. So I was thinking of an analogy. Let's think about this. Let's say you have a bookshelf with some space on it, and when you start up your phone, you may have some apps already running, some of the Android stuff. Let's say there's some books on the shelf. Now, every time you start a new app, you add a new book to the shelf, that's the app, and it occupies some space. How much space you have is the total RAM, and you can put a certain number of books on there. And the free RAM is how much space you have left that's not been used. Now, you can keep starting apps, you can keep putting books onto this shelf, but at some point, the RAM is going to be full, the shelf is full of all the books, and you start a new app, and then Android looks around and says, right, where can I put this in memory? And there's no space on the shelf, and so what does it do? Well, what it does in the most drastic situation is it takes one of those books off the shelf and puts it on the floor, gets rid of it, and therefore frees up a space in the shelf and enables you to put that new book on there. And if you start kind of a really big app, that's a really thick book, then it needs to remove several other apps from memory, take other books off that shelf, and then put the bigger app in its place. And so sometimes when you switch between apps on Android, what you can actually find is that the app is no longer in memory. And when you start it, it starts with a fresh boot up. So it goes through all the loading screens and it comes up to the main menu. It doesn't carry on where you left off. It wasn't just in memory, kind of paused, waiting for you to return to it. Now, in most cases, when you have to just wait for the app to load up again, it isn't a problem because all you're losing is just a few seconds of time. Now, some people who are heavy multi-users want to be able to switch between several apps all the time without having to wait, and it's just where it left off. The other thing, of course, is that if you're in the middle of something and that app has been pushed out of memory, then it may not be in the same state when you return, particularly if you're playing a game, for example. When you return, the last position you're in might not be there. You have to start again at the level you were last playing. Hopefully for productivity stuff, if the app did get pushed out of memory, then actually it kind of saved its state before it went out, because all apps get given a signal to say, you're about to get kicked out of memory, please, kind of sort out your life, save whatever data you need to save, because impending doom is coming. So really, there are two things for a problem with apps not being in memory. One is you have to wait for the startup time again, and the second is they may not be where you last left them. Now, of course, that's not a problem if you start up, some kind of program, a solitaire or Candy Crush, and then literally 3 weeks go past and you haven't returned to it, and then you scroll through your recent apps and you go back to it, and then it's not where it was 3 weeks ago. That isn't really an issue. Probably more of an issue is if you're doing things on a day-to-day basis and you only did something a few minutes ago, and then when you return to it, it's no longer there. And that's what we talk about with RAM management. Now, Android does have one trick up its sleeve. This is a trick that it gets from Linux itself, because Linux, of course, is the kernel of Android. And that's this idea of something called swapping. So on a traditional computer, that's a PC or a laptop or a server, when there is not enough memory left and there's not enough space left on the shelf, what actually happens is the operating system says, well, I won't kill that app, I won't kill that program. What I'll do is I'll copy all those pages of memory, all that block of memory, and I'll copy them to the hard drive. And then I can put another app in its place, another program in its place. And then at some point in the future, if we want to go back to that program, what I'll do is I'll find another space on the shelf and I'll take that stuff from the hard drive and put it back exactly in that place of memory, and then we can carry on. And that's because all these modern operating systems, Windows, Linux, Mac OS, whatever, use virtual memory. I've got lots of videos about that kind of thing, especially over on the Android Authority channel. So the point is that it's able to relocate into different areas of memory, having spent some time on the hard drive. Now, Android does have a similar idea. It uses a thing called ZRAM. Now, Z, or Z, depending on where you are in the world, normally stands for something that's compressed in the kind of the Unix, Linux world of things. So it's basically compressed memory. So what happens is when the Linux kernel wants more memory and there's none available, it will look at some of the pages that are older and have not been used recently. And it will say, well, look, if we take that page out here and that page over there and we compress them and then put them back into memory again, well, actually, we should be able to free up some space. Although it actually still puts things in memory, the fact they've been compressed means they get reduced RAM, and that's called ZRAM, so compressed RAM. And of course, it's slower because you can't use it at that moment. You have to take it out of that memory, uncompress it, and then put it back in its full form, actually back into memory before it can get used. But something that's not been used for a while kind of gets squashed down and then placed there in the memory. Now, on a traditional, as I said, on a traditional PC, laptop, server, that actually happens on the hard drive. Now, in the case of Android, that would be on the flash. Now, there is some confusion around about which phones are doing what. Certainly, a lot of phones are using ZRAM, using dynamically allocated memory. When it needs to compress something, it says, oh, there's a space over there, and puts it in there. There's also a variation where ZRAM is kind of in a fixed, predefined set of memory reserved, and then the ZRAM kind of gets used there and kind of gets filled up, and then the other bits get freed up. And there seems to be now that some manufacturers are actually swapping to the flash. Now, up until now, this really hasn't happened because it can, of course, create a lot of problems for the read and the writes of the flash. And of course, as we know, flash has a limited life. However, nowadays, of course, we're using SSDs, we're using flash disks all the time. So if they're using a high enough quality memory inside of the internal storage inside of a smartphone, then it can probably cope with the reading and writing, just as my Mac and my PC all have SSDs. They've been running for years and there's no problem. They do have a finite lifetime. But it's not a problem at the moment. So they're probably, the thinking is that if we use high quality flash memory, we can do reading and writing to that. So there are three different ways you can do the swapping, and it creates this idea that you can take things out of the memory, store it away somewhere, and then when you need it, put it back. And that has the advantage that apps don't actually get killed, but when you do swap to them, it does take a second for them to kind of either get extracted and kind of decompressed, or written, read from the internal storage and written back into the memory. So that can take a small amount of time. Okay, so what I've got is three phones that I've tested. I've got a Pixel 3 XL running Android 12, and that's only got 4 gigabytes of RAM, so that's going to be interesting to see what that can do. I've got a OnePlus 9 Pro with 8 gigabytes of RAM, and that's running Android 11, and then I've got a Galaxy S21 Ultra with 12 gigabytes of RAM, and that's also running Android 12. So we're looking at Android 11, Android 12. What do these systems do when they've got 4, 8, and 12 gigabytes of RAM? Now, my testing methodology is pretty simple. What I do is I note the amount of available RAM, how much space there is on the bookshelf. I then see how much of the swap space has been used, because these are statistics you can get from the Linux kernel. I then start up a new app, you know, put a new book on the shelf. I see how much space it uses. I see how much space has now been used up in the overall memory, and I see how much swap space has been used, and we can monitor and see the dynamic effects of what happens to the amount of free space, the size of the apps, how much space is being used on the swap disk, until it gets to this ultra full point where it can't do anything at all, and then finally Linux will and Android together will just kill off an app and say, that's it, you're just dead, you're out of here, that you're not saved in swap, you're just gone, and when you start the app again, it will start from zero. And that's kind of when it's the out of memory killer, it's called, when that moment it's got nothing else to do except for start killing off things. And that's the worst case scenario from a user experience point of view, because now when you start up the app, it's definitely gone. So how do each of these phones react in these different situations? So I'm mainly using games for my app testing, though I do also use Chrome at one point. And apps really kind of fall into three different categories. Those that use just a few hundred megabytes of RAM, and that would also include simple apps. It's like the calculator or a calendar or a weather app or something like that. Games that kind of use between kind of, you know, 500 megabytes right up to a gigabyte, and those that go over the gigabyte. So Subway Surfers, 750 megabytes, Air Force 1945, 850 megabytes. Candy Crush, a simple one, 350 megabytes. Brawl Stars, 500 megabytes. Minecraft, 800 megabytes. Asphalt 9, 800 megabytes. Shadowgun Legends, 900 megabytes, as well as Elder Scrolls Blaze, 950. Then, of course, the biggies like Genshin Impact, 1.4 gigabytes. And then if you get Chrome and you kind of really load it up with lots of tabs, you can get that to go up into 1, 2, 2.5 gigabytes really quite easily. And so I have a methodology where I start one app out of this list, follow it through, and then see what happens. So the first thing I'm going to test is the Pixel 3 XL running Android 12. It's got 4 gigabytes of RAM and 2 gigabytes of swap space available, as I had previously discussed. So let's have a look at what happened. So here is the overall graph of what happened. The light blue line is the amount of free RAM, and the darker blue line is the amount of swap space that has been used. The first column is when the device was rebooted. It had about 400 megabytes of free RAM, and about a gigabyte of swap space was used. I then use it a little bit, start up a few apps, kill them off, kind of get the phone kind of warmed up, pre-warmed up. And that changed the situation slightly, and the free RAM was up at about 800 megabytes, and the swap space was around 700 megabytes. I then start up Subway Surfers, and you can see here the amount of free RAM now just plummets straight down, because all that free RAM is now being used by the new app that was put into the memory, and the swap space is basically remains unchanged. But if I then start a second app, you can see 1945 Air Force, the amount of free RAM, of course, remains the same because it can't really go much lower, but the amount of swap space goes right up, which means things have started to be swapped out into ZRAM, so that there is free space for the new app to be run. And in fact, Subway Surfers itself used to occupy at that point 603 megabytes, but by the time you start 1945 Air Force, it's most of it's been swapped out and only has 182 megabytes of it are left in memory, because it already knows that I've swapped over to a new app, and so it's already started to push Subway Surfers out to the swapping there. And then after that, I then start Candy Crush. Again, the amount of free RAM remains very low because that's all there is. But again, the swap space is being used even more, up now over 1.4 gigabytes of swap space being used. And then having done that, I then start Brawl Stars to see whether it can cope with another app running. The amount of swap space being used has shot up yet again. And at this point, Subway Surfers has been killed and removed from the memory. So as you can see, when they have a small amount of physical RAM, you can run 1, 2, 3 apps in 4 gigabytes. And then at some point when you start another one, the earlier one that you started just gets killed because there's no space, not in the swap space or in main memory, for all these apps to stay together. And so one of them has to get removed. And the point to remember here is it's not about what apps you can actually run, because they all run. The question is, how much can you run at the same time and switch between them in a multi-tasking fashion where they remain fully in memory and therefore come up straight away and are doing exactly what they were doing the last time you switched away from them. Now, next comes the OnePlus 9 Pro. It has 8 gigabytes of RAM, 4 gigabytes of swapping available. And the OnePlus 9 Pro has a technology called RAM Boost, which basically the OS is looking at what apps you use most often and tries to keep them in memory more and kind of preload them sometimes even, kills off the ones that it knows you use very rarely, and tries to be a bit smart about how it keeps things in memory. So I test this here with the RAM boost on, and I do a second set of tests with the RAM boost off, and we do actually see a difference in the behavior. So here's the overall graph for the OnePlus 9 Pro with RAM boost on. As we can see, lots of free RAM to start with. When I say lots, it's relative, gigabyte of free RAM to start with. This is out of 8 gigabytes. So there is some more complicated things to say about RAM management, because of course you want to be able to use that RAM for things like caching and so on. So it's not bad that it's actually not so much free to start with. I start up Subway Surfers, obviously. It occupies memory, so the amount of free RAM goes right down to 300 megabytes. I then start 1945 Air Force, and then I start Candy Crush. Now you can see at the time I start Candy Crush, the amount of free RAM shoots up there, right back up to 900 and something megabytes, and that's because Subway Surfers was already killed at this point. So we had Subway Surfers, 1945 Air Force, Candy Crush, and by that point, Subway Surfers was killed again. So I kind of started Subway Surfers up again in the next show. So Subway Surfers has been run twice here to try to convince this RAM boost that I really did want Subway Surfers hanging around. And it did hang around for a bit longer. I then was able to start up Brawl Stars. Again, we can see the amount of RAM going, changing there, and the amount of swap space being used going up. Started up Minecraft, again, the amount of swap space being used going up. And when I started Asphalt 9, again, the amount of swap space being used shooting up there. And at that point, Candy Crush and 1945 Air Force were both killed. So, interestingly, on 8 gigabytes of RAM here, it was like Subway Surfers, Air Force 1945, Candy Crush, Brawl Stars, Minecraft, and then Asphalt 9. So, 6 apps, of course, which Asphalt 9 is quite big, before things started getting killed. Now, I did the same test again now with RAM boost off, and we can see a different picture here. The amount of free RAM was around 500 megabytes, and again, I started the different apps, Subway Surfer, 1945 Air Force, Candy Crush, Brawl Stars, Minecraft. Now, at the point that Minecraft gets started, we can see the RAM, free RAM takes a real dip, and the amount of swap space being used really starts to go up high. And then again, when I ran Asphalt 9, Subway Surfers was killed off, and the amount of swap space is again very, very highly used. Now, I must say, I found the results for an 8 gigabyte model quite shocking. Really, that 8 gigabyte should be enough. If we saw how well the Pixel 3 XL did with only 4 gigabytes, that should be well enough for more apps to be in memory before things start getting killed off. So it is interesting that maybe there's a whole area of research that I should be looking into to see how different phones handle RAM management in general, and just how they handle 4 gigabytes or 8 gigabytes or 16 gigabytes, because obviously it's different. So the Pixel 3 was different to how the OnePlus 9 Pro. I was expecting more of the OnePlus 9 Pro, if I'm to be honest, and 8 gigabytes really should be enough for it to do better than that. Now, the final phone I test is the S21 Ultra with 12 gigabytes of RAM, and this is really quite different. Oh, just that 4 gigabytes of RAM has made a difference, but I think also the Samsung software is handling this a lot better than the OnePlus 9 Pro. Now, this is a much more traditional graph. Really, you can see free RAM kind of goes down and swap space kind of goes up, almost in a kind of a big X here. And you can see to start with that the S21 Ultra has got 5 gigabytes of free RAM just at the start. And that does drop a bit when I start to switch between apps and start up a few and kill them off. But really, that extra 4 gig is, it's letting it start with a kind of bigger empty space. And then as I start to start up the apps, you can see free RAM starts to go down and the swap space usage starts to go up. Really pretty textbook, really. That's a nice X shape there. One goes down and one goes up. For example, when we get to starting up Shadow Gun Legend, then you can see here that swapping has been occurring. For example, 1945 Air Force has gone down from 852 megabytes to 587 megabytes of RAM being used. So therefore, some of it is already being swapped out. Again, when I start up Elder Scrolls Blade, again, Candy Crush has halved its size. It was 340 megabytes in memory. That went down to 149 megabytes as it's now being pushed into the swap space. Again, you can see later on Brawl Stars gets reduced down to just 88 megabytes from 472 megabytes that it was in memory. Now, finally, at the very end there, I was actually starting up Chrome and then starting up more and more tabs. At this point, I've got all those games running, including Genshin Impact, and it's still not killing off any apps. It's doing lots of swapping, but they're not being killed. So I started up Chrome, it's kind of 4 tabs, 8 tabs. And in the end, at the very end there, when Chrome is using up 2.2 gigabytes of memory, then Minecraft got killed out of the memory there. And so it's no longer in memory. We'd have to start up again if I were to tap on it. So a much better performance there from the S21 Ultra with that 12 gigabytes of RAM. Now, two more things I want to mention before we come to a conclusion. One is, can the Pixel 3 XL run Genshin Impact? Well, yes, it can. In fact, when I ran it, it did run, and there was only 73 megabytes of RAM free, and there was 233 megabytes of swap space used. So basically, it pushed everything out that it could, everything out to the swap space, killed off what it could, and it just managed to get enough memory to run. And the game did run, and actually you were able to play it. So even though you've got only 4 gigabytes, it can even run these heavier games because it's about multitasking. And what it does is it just gets rid of everything else to free up its space. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that the amount of RAM that's shown inside of the Android UI isn't necessarily true. If you look here, this is a screenshot from the S21 Ultra. It says that there's 6 gigabytes available, but it's used 4 gigabytes out of 12 gigabytes. Well, of course, 4 plus 6 is 10, not 12. So that's interesting. And in fact, I'll show you the next slide in a minute why that is. But it says, oh, but I've also reserved 2 gigabytes, so that's taken away from there. Plus, it's using this RAM plus virtual memory of 4 gigabytes. That's the swap space. Now, is that big 4 gigabytes really 1.9 gigabytes as Z RAM? So is half because it's compressed there, or is that reserved for something else? And then the RAM plus is really swapping to the hard disk. When you look online, some people are saying it's Z RAM, some people are saying it's swapping to the internal storage. But one thing is true, when you look at the actual statistics, the S21 Ultra really only has 10 gigabytes of RAM available. When you look there, mem total, it's 10 gigabytes, and there is that 2 gigabytes missing. And as I said, is that reserved for Z RAM or is it reserved for something else? So it's very interesting when you look at the amount of RAM available on these different devices. Actually, it might not really be as kind of clear black and white as what you are expecting. So definitely this one Ultra's really only got 10 gigabytes. So there's 2 gigabytes reserved for something, and it's a bit of a mystery about what those 2 gigabytes are. So a conclusion, what can we say? Well, first of all, my personal feeling is that 8 gigabytes should be enough for sort of level entry and for even mid-range devices. Android should be able to cope with that absolutely fine. My MacBook Air with the M1 processor only got 8 gigabytes of RAM. So the fact that my smartphone should have more RAM than that to work efficiently is a bit strange. However, the OnePlus 9 Pro did not perform as well as I was expecting. It seemed very aggressive in killing things off so that it had free memory available for other things. And maybe in the future, I'll try to look at other devices with 8 gigabytes, especially when they can get Android 12 on them, to see how that responds. So my feeling is that 8 gigabytes really should now be the minimum you should be looking for. 12 gigabytes performed really, really well on the S21 Ultra. And of course, 16 gigabytes really is kind of the icing on the cake. I still think that 16 gigabytes is really kind of, you know, kind of more like just a boast to your friends, hey, it's got 16 gigabytes of RAM, because I don't see how it could really need that amount, again, especially since we're talking about multitasking capabilities. However, for future proofing, if you look at the Pixel 3 XL, obviously that's quite old now, but 4 gigabytes back then probably wasn't too shoddy, probably wasn't leading edge, but it certainly wasn't too bad. But now we can see after a few years, that's quite hard. So if you're looking about spending some money, you think, well, I want to keep this now for 2 years, 3 years, maybe even 5 years, then getting more RAM now would certainly help in the long run. If you're on a budget and you're wondering where to spend your money, 8 gigabytes should be okay. And looking at that S21 Ultra, 12 gigabytes now seems to be the sweet spot. That's where I'm saying now, 12 gigabytes is the sweet spot for 2022. Okay, that's it. My name is Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this video on RAM management, on how much RAM you need for 2022. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. Don't forget, you can follow me at Twitter, at Gary Explains. And I also have a newsletter. Go to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address. You won't get any spam, but you will get my newsletter, which I hope you will enjoy. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.